Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, Denny Griffin here. And for the next half hour, I'll be your host for Meet the Author. And tonight, I have a very special guest, the author of Nocturne. And my guest is Dr. Harrison Slater. He's an internationally known author, scholar, and pianist. And he's continuing with this book on the path of his best-selling novel, Night Music, which was optioned as a film in Europe. And just as Night Music opened the world of Mozart to mystery readers, Nocturne brings the poetic panoramas of Chopin to those who love novels of obsession and romance. Dr. Slater, welcome to Meet the Author.
Thank you, Denny. Pleasure to be here.
And we were talking just a bit before the before we went on the air here that you're currently in New Jersey.
Yes, I was just up in Boston and came down to South Jersey and heard from everyone that it's been terrible winter for snow. They've had about 4 feet here, and still people can't believe it.
I think most everybody's going to be glad when this one's over with. Dr. Slater, would you tell us a little bit about your book Nocturne, please?
Yes. Well, Nocturne is a novel that takes place in two different centuries. One part is in the present time, and it is a love story, actually a triangle. A young 26-year-old photographer, Artemisia, from New York, who is doing an assignment in Paris on Chopin's Paris. So she's going to photograph with a young musicologist there the sites where Chopin lived and where he wrote his great music. And she is being followed by her obsessive boyfriend, who in the course of the novel turns into a killer. So part of the novel takes place in the present time. The other is based on diaries that are rediscovered, Chopin-related diaries that take place 200 years earlier. And there are lots of parallels between the diaries from Chopin's time and what's going on in Artemisia's life, and basically this triangle she's found herself in, not by her own free will. In Chopin's time, of course, you have Chopin, who is in love with a young woman named Maria Wodzinska, and he asks her to marry him, and is in the course of this diary that is discovered, we learn the reason why she never married him. But in the meantime, the diary seems to bring bad luck to the people in the present day, because we see that into the novel, which is very optimistic and very, it's filled with the music of Chopin, and it's for the first time it's a novel with a soundtrack. There's a CD of the music of Chopin, 22 works by Chopin, played by me as a CD in the back of the book. And it can be used to understand the music that's being spoken about in the diaries, or it can be used as a virtual soundtrack. So these diaries basically bring bad luck to the protagonists of the present day, Artemisia and the young musicologist that she has started to fall in love with. And in the course of the novel, it turns from a very optimistic love story into a tragedy.
And, Doc, let me ask you this. Now, you, how long did it take you to write this book?
Well, I really started about 2004, so it's really about six years of work.
Oh, wow.
So it was, people were surprised that it's a very small novel. However, because Night Music was very large, it was originally 800-something pages, and when it came out, it was about 550. But Nocturne is much is smaller. However, it is very it's got quite a bit in a very small volume. So it's very intense and very, very rich.
And would you like, before we get back into Nocturne, do you want to tell us a little bit more about Night Music?
Yes, Night Music was the first in this series of three, a trilogy that I'm doing, based on composers. And what happened was that I did my PhD in Mozart studies and musicology, and decided to write a novel like Umberto Eco did. He wrote The Name of the Rose, and that really brought the Middle Ages into the focus of mystery readers. So I thought I would do the same thing with Mozart and keep a very factual and interesting Mozart written by a musicologist as opposed to a screenplay writer. Like, for example, Amadeus, which is really a sort of a fictitious Mozart, and people who really have studied Mozart find it very hard to watch that film, except for the beauty of the film itself and the music. But instead of giving a fictitious Mozart or a Hollywood-style Mozart, I try to stay very true to the character, to the person. And then the second one in the trilogy is Nocturne, and that, again, is based on diaries, but this time Chopin-related. Then the third will be a novel of horror and occult, and it's going to be called The Embrace, meaning The Embrace of Evil, and that will deal with the music of Tchaikovsky.
Now, is that a work in progress as we speak?
It's a work in progress, yes, and about a third of it has been written. And for that one, there's also going to be a CD that comes along with it, with the music of Tchaikovsky. And for that one, I have a very wonderful colleague. Her name is Lara Villafranca, and she's from Mexico, and she is a wonderful concert pianist, and she'll be playing the Tchaikovsky piano concerto, and I'll be conducting the soundtrack, all music of Tchaikovsky.
Do you have any tentative release or target for a release for the next one?
I would guess about 5 years from now.
Something like these books you're writing, this trilogy, they're not like some authors of traditional novels pump them out. You know, some of the better-known authors seem to be able to pump out a couple a year, and that's not really the case here at all.
Well, for me, it was very different because, for example, it was my first novel, and seeing the Night Music and seeing the level of quality, it was necessary to really put out something that was really very, very special. So I really worked on it very intensely. I actually, for Night Music, I worked on Night Music for 7 years, but literally a minimum 5 hours a day, and sometimes at certain periods, 12 to 13 hours a day. So it is very intense because the research, it has to be factual, and the story has to be very gripping. And Night Music was actually optioned as a film in Europe, and I'm hoping that that Nocturne perhaps will be also.
You know, that you mentioned research, and I want to talk about it a little bit if we could. First of all, do you enjoy the research piece of this? I know there are some authors I've spoken with that find research to be a drudgery, and they wish they could avoid it, and some, in fact, I know do avoid it, and it shows in their product. But do you enjoy doing the research on these books?
I do, because the focus is always the composer, the man, and the music. And in general, these are really fascinating characters surrounded by fascinating people. In the case of Chopin, he's with Georges Sand, and she was the great writer of the 19th century. She was very controversial, and they had a love affair, and they spent 8 years together. Very, very productive, great friends, celebrities, and great artists, really a life like a novel. So researching these spectacular characters with great, great talent like Mozart and Chopin and Tchaikovsky, who really had lives like a novel, and then combining it with their music, because everything I do comes directly out of the music. So I don't mind the research at all. In fact, I enjoy it because it is fascinating people, and I want to make sure that the audience gets it in a way that is equally fascinating and lively for them.
You actually some of your scenes are in Paris here, but you actually spend time in Paris, am I correct?
Yes, Denny. I actually did go to all of the big Chopin sites during the course of my research. And, for example, Chopin was in Mallorca and wrote his amazing preludes. there. So I went to Barcelona and took the hydrofoil over to Mallorca, which is a breathtaking island with a magnificent Gothic cathedral. And the visit to the Cartuja, the monastery where Chopin stayed, is just literally miraculous. So I spent about 4 months in Paris researching the various places Chopin was and getting to know the city, because the novel Nocturne takes place in the present day in Paris, and I wanted it to be just like a postcard of what somebody would see today in Paris. For example, the policemen going by on rollerblades and bicycles, and the Paris, the city of lovers, Paris, the city of photographers, and many, many classic postcards. So I also went to Poland, and that was an amazing experience, and visited Warsaw, saw the places, got to know the old town in Warsaw, and where Chopin grew up. And then the last place was Noant, in France, where George Sand, the great novelist, had her family home. It's quite spectacular. So I made a trip to all of those places and incorporated everything into the novel in a way that is still lively for the author, so that it's for the audience, because it's not like they're learning something from a book. It's more something that is vibrant, alive, and hopefully entertaining.
The research that you've had to do or have done, that you actually enjoy doing, I wanted to stress, I think that, as you already are aware, the importance of that, because it's been my experience that if a reader detects or finds an error in your story, you could have a wrong location, for example, or misname a street or that type of thing. And once a reader finds an error, it seems then they become very suspicious of everything. And
yeah.
And I know in some cases I've spoken with readers in the past who, if they find an error in the research in the story, they actually will close the book and not reopen it, much less buy a book from that author. So do you feel that research is as important an aspect of writing the book as I do?
Well, absolutely, yes. In fact, that's why I definitely go to location. And my training was, the first book I wrote was called In Mozart's Footsteps. And Mozart, at the time, went to 10 countries and lived in 10 countries, visited 10 countries, over 100 cities. And nobody in their right mind would consider going to those cities to write the book In Mozart's Footsteps. But I decided to do it, and I went for 7 months and crisscrossed Europe, visited 55 cities in that 7 months, another 15 at a different time, and basically spent 2.5 years doing very intense research with archivists and with Mozart biography in 4 languages to come up with something that was very authentic. And the same thing with Nocturne, because for people to be writing about Paris, to really get the flavor of it, you really have to be in the city, and you have to really almost live there to understand what Paris is about. And Paris is actually one of the protagonists of the novel. It's on the cover, the beautiful Seine lit up at night, and the Conciergerie, the oldest building in Paris, lit up at night. And Paris is actually central, almost as a character in the novel.
And, Doctor, we have a question in the chat room. Will Beethoven show up in any of your future books?
Beethoven is the man, and absolutely the one of the most beloved composers. The passion and the intensity, the melodies, lyricism, everything. I'm not planning anything soon on Beethoven, but I am. I do have my projects planned a little bit ahead now for the next 10 years. much as I love the music of Beethoven, not actually planning to do his anything with him right now.
Okay. Before we move on, I'd like to, if you would, give us any information regarding learning more about you or your books or where books can be purchased. Do you have any websites or that type of thing you'd like to give out?
Yes. One website is harrisonslater.com. It's very easy to remember, Harrison Ford and Christian Slater, the two actors. So it's harrisonslater.com. The Nocturne is also on Amazon.com, and so is my piano CD of Chopin's music. Then it has also been picked up by a distributor here in America and will be in stores, and has also been picked up by a Polish distributor, so it's going to be in Poland and probably the UK very soon.
And you teach many world-class pianists, am I correct?
Yes, in fact, piano coaching, I've been very blessed because my adoptive father was really one of the best coaches on the planet. His name was Paul Dogro, and he actually coached Earl Wilde, who just passed away very recently, almost about a month ago, I think. He coached Earl Wilde for 50 years. So he studied with the greatest pianist in the 20th century, and he passed on so much of his expertise to a whole generation of pianists, and so I'm doing the same thing. I have an opportunity to work with some very good pianists, including one who came to me recently, a wonderful virtuoso pianist. She has an amazing technique, an amazing reputation, and she just came to me. She said, Harrison, I need your help. And we spent 10 hours in incredibly intense circumstances because she was about to fly to Virginia and record 40 pieces. So she wanted to go over everything, and the album came out magnificently. It's called A Cascade of Roses, Janice Weber.
And you also are an artistic director of an international Chopin piano competition scheduled for this May in Boston.
That's correct. In fact, it is the Peabody Mason piano competition, and it's for pianists. There is no age limit. This year, it's all Chopin because it's the Chopin year, the 200th anniversary of his birth. And there will be a $10,000 prize, and the deadline is April 15th, in about 3 weeks from now. So hopefully we'll be hearing some really first-rate, fine younger and older pianists playing the music of Chopin for his 200th anniversary.
I bet you're looking forward to that, aren't you?
Very much. It's going to be very intense, a lot of work. There's a wonderful jury I have on it, including Richard Dyer, the great critic of the Boston Globe, who was also on the Van Cliburn competition.
Now, is this the first one of these competitions you've done, or is this a repeat of something you've done?
This is a repeat of what my adoptive father, Paul Dogero, did many years ago. He did, I think, at least four of them, and they were called the Peabody Mason Piano Competition. Some of the finest pianists on the planet won that award, including Peter Orth and David Korvar, very, very fine pianists who have remarkable careers and are playing today. So this year it's going to be from all over the world. I've heard, for example, that China has 55 million pianists.
Oh, my goodness. Wow.
So we'll see what kind of talent is going to emerge out of this, but it should be quite wonderful. The winner will also get a recital in a Boston hall.
So there's a lot of incentive to win the competition, isn't there?
There's a lot of incentive besides the prize, and, of course, it helps to launch careers, and that's something I believe very much in, that to give pianists a boost to do their great thing, and particularly in a world where music is becoming more and more important now, because life is so stressful, that people are finding that music is very uplifting to the spirit. Chopin is very nostalgic and very passionate and very lyrical, because it's really based in many ways on sung music, vocal music, and Chopin transferred that into the piano. So we have Chopin, the poet of the piano, who was really is a very wonderful medicine for people to deal with all the stress and anxiety of our lives today.
I've noticed, and my wife watches a lot of the, I don't know if talent show is the right word, but yeah, I guess talent shows on television. American Idol, of course, is one of the better known, more popular ones, and there's a dance competitions and so forth. Would you see anything possibly for a TV competition for pianists, or no?
It would be a wonderful thing, particularly if it would focus on not so much on the very virtuosic and the flashy, but on the very refined art music, which is so much a part of our civilization, Western civilization, that I would very much be interested in seeing that. And of course, the musician is Mozart and also Chopin for the piano. Almost everyone who has been a pianist at any time and knows the music of Chopin, and people who play piano particularly know that Chopin wrote predominantly for the piano, and you could say he reinvented the instrument.
I was going to make a suggestion that trying to get something like that for a television show might be a good project for you, but as far as I think about it, you seem to have a pretty full plate. You don't let any grass grow under your feet, so I don't know if you would have time to take on a project like that with all you have going already.
It's quite an intense year for the Chopin year because in addition to promoting the book and, of course, the CD, which is part of the book, which is a soundtrack, virtual soundtrack for the novel, and my understanding is this is the first time it has been done to have a novel with a soundtrack performed by the author. But in addition to that, I'm also giving, in a number of universities, I'm giving a paper on Chopin and the vocal nocturne that influenced his piano music so much.
I would like to talk a little bit, if you don't mind, about writing and marketing. When did you first decide to write? But when did that first come into your mind that you actually wanted to write?
Yes, it was actually very interesting. I was on a train from Rome to Milan. It's called the Pendolino. It's a very fast train. I believe it takes 4 hours. And I was in the middle of working on my PhD dissertation on Mozart, basically Mozart in Milan and his first opera that he wrote in Milan when he was 16 years old. And I was on the train. I had 4 more years of work to do easily on the PhD, and I had this idea of writing a novel like Umberto Eco did, The Name of the Rose, and bringing the life and music of Mozart alive to mystery readers. So I mapped the whole thing out for the 4 hours on the Pendolino, on the train from Rome to Milan, and then I carried that little piece of paper around with me for 4 years. I didn't have time to work on it. For 4 years, and then I said, but when I finish my PhD, I'm going to write this novel. And it took 7 years, but it was all based on an idea that started on that train ride.
Well, it's quite an interesting story that's how it came down. So then about 4 years, you say, went by where you just carried that piece of paper from the train around with you.
And I told everyone in that 4 years, I said, when I finish my PhD, I'm writing a novel about Mozart diaries. And then it was that was really an odyssey after that, because again, everything I do with writing is usually based. I usually go on the premises to the site, and people said to me for years, they said, "This is when I read this, I feel like I'm there." And I tell them, well, it's probably because I was writing it when I was sitting at that spot in Europe.
Did you have the idea for the trilogy all at once, or was that something that came along after you started writing the first book?
It was not my intention when I was writing the first one, but it was after I finished the first one and realized where I wanted to go, I thought Chopin, and I thought, well, yes, I could figure in some way to make it a sequel to the other. However, it's done in such a way that the book Nocturne, the new novel, on Chopin Diaries stands by itself. And people have even said to me, after reading Nocturne, they said, I didn't even realize that it was referring to characters in Night Music because it's such a different context. But then the idea for the trilogy came because I wanted to do something in three very dramatically different genres. So Night Music is murder mystery. Nocturne, the present novel about Chopin Diaries, is obsession and romance. And the novel on Tchaikovsky is really it's really going to be more horror and even occult. So I wanted to do something in very dramatically different genres. Nocturne is a little bit more perhaps for the ladies, but I've read portions of The Embrace to various people, including book readings, and I've noticed that the men like it very much. And women were a little bit taken aback because it tends to be a little on the violent side, since it deals with the subject of good and evil.
Now, the mystery aspect of this, are you a mystery reader? Do you like mystery stories to read?
Definitely. Have always loved the mystery, and it's really the perfect vehicle, I thought, because if you want to really introduce people to your composer and that composer's music. Readers today want to learn. They don't want to read empty books. They want to learn something in the process. And everyone who's either read Night Music or Nocturne has come out and said, I understand that composer so much now. And I understand, in the case of Night Music, I understand Mozart. Many times it's readers who have never even heard, for example, the music of Chopin, and this is their introduction for the first time, including with the CD of some of the most beautiful music Chopin ever wrote.
And that you mentioned that, as far as you know, this is the first time an author has included a CD or soundtrack in with the book. How did you happen to come up with that idea? It is unique, and is that something you thought of, or did...
Yes, well, you know, that also evolved as a concept, and I have in the back of Nocturne a reader's guide that deals with the novel as a soundtrack concept. And how it really evolved is that I got a review in the Boston Globe that said that Slater is able to describe Mozart's music in a way that is almost musical, and it almost is as if the music of Mozart provides a soundtrack to the action. Well, when I did Nocturne, I decided, well, this time I'm going to actually, if I'm speaking about a piece in the novel written by Chopin, if I'm speaking about it, I'm going to include it in the novel so people will have it right there. They don't have to run out and try to order it. They'll be able to go directly to the back of the book, take out the CD, and hear the piece. But then the concept evolved because I was at a book reading, or I started reading, and I started playing the CD as I read, and realizing that certain pieces on the CD were ideal soundtrack music. So when this is done as books on tape or audiobooks, it will virtually be a soundtrack. But right now the reader has the option of playing the soundtrack for certain sections in the novel, or they're welcome to play it the whole time they read, or as some people like to do, is just to read in silence, and then when the piece of Chopin is mentioned, they can go and they can hear it and understand what the passage is about.
I got to tell you, Doctor, I've always been interested in marketing, and this certainly is, I'm very impressed with that idea and that concept, and it's really, I think, a brilliant thing. I mean, it's got to be very popular with your audience, with your readers, and I just think it's a masterful thing that you did there.
Thank you. Well, Denny, one of the things about loving the music of Chopin so much, as I do, I was giving the CD to friends and to acquaintances over the last 5 years, as the CD progressed from one number to 22, And many people, even people who were in, for example, in conservatories of music that studied jazz, for example, even people who were studying jazz said this was really great because there were things of Chopin they had never heard before. And by the way, I also just made a jazz recording with three very fine young jazz players, tenor sax, bass, and drums. And then I did Cole Porter's Night in Music and mixed a little bit of Chopin's Black Key Etude in there. And that's actually on YouTube right now under Harrison Slater and the Nocturne Jazz Quartet.
Oh, boy. Doctor, I don't know where this half hour went, but we just got cut off of the live stream here. I want to thank you so much for being my guest tonight. It's really been a pleasure and a treat to talk with you. And all I can say is the best of luck with your new book. And
thank you, Danny.
Look forward to the next one coming out in a few years.
Excellent. Danny, pleasure to talking to you, man.
Okay, thanks a million, Doctor.
Okay, bye, Danny.
Bye-bye now. Thank you for listening, and the book, Nocturne. Thank you very much, and have a great night and a great week.